venerable religious and dear parishioners, we are taking our mid-Advent break, and its purpose, one of its purposes, is to help us be refreshed and to go back to our Advent observance with all the more fervor once this day has passed. And we are told to rejoice. We have the rose-colored vestments today, the rose-colored candle that is lit for this week. The Lord is nigh. Jesus is coming. Christmas is getting closer. And we cannot restrain some of our joy today. But there's a deeper, another message of joy, and that is the one to help us through life. We do fall into sorrow, despondency, discouragement. And no doubt the Philippians needed to hear this message from St. Paul, and therefore he wrote it to them. Rejoice always. In 2 Corinthians, St. Paul says a phrase along these lines that I think sheds some light on this, and that is, he says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. So what is implied is, yes, life is rough. Carrying the cross is rough. Being a Catholic is rough. However, there should be a joy in our daily lives, and not just sometime. Rejoice in the Lord always, St. Paul tells us. Again, I say, rejoice. So what happens? Why do we get into discouragement, despondency, or a sorrow that is bereft of joy? What is it that drags us down, that makes us bitter and complaining? I think one explanation is that we take our eyes off the goal. And this is why St. Paul says, the Lord is nigh. Now, there could have been more than one meaning attached to that. Either the idea that St. Paul believed that the end of the world wasn't too far off. Obviously, that didn't happen. Or it could be just that God is close to us, no matter how difficult life can be, no matter what sorrows and suffering somebody can have, the Lord is as close to you as the prayer you can say at any instant. We forget this, that we don't have to make an appointment to speak with God. We don't have to put in a letter of request 2 months ahead of time to have an audience with him. God is everywhere by his power, and we can instantly access him, you might say, through prayer at any moment, at any time, in any place. That's how available God has made himself to us, knowing that we would need his help. So as I said a little bit earlier, when we do take our eyes off the goal, yes, we fall into that despondency, sorrow, discouragement, bitterness, and complaining. So the Lord is nigh. Keep your eyes on the Lord. We have to tell ourselves, why are we here? Or ask ourselves, why are we here? What is our goal? Why are we sitting in those pews on Sunday? Why do we come to church? Why are we Catholics? It's to get to heaven, to get an eternal reward. And if we forget about looking at that, we focus on the means and not on the end. I think it was in this spirit that St. Bernard asked himself every day, I believe, when as a religious monk, said, Bernard, Bernard, why hast thou come here? Why did he ask himself that question? Because he didn't want to focus on the sacrifice of his religious life or, you know, why do I have to offer up this or that? Why am I here? To become a saint. That's my goal. And he became a great one. Became a doctor of the church. And so we also need to ask ourselves, especially when we start getting weighed down by life, by difficulties, why am I here? Like Saint Bernard, I too am called to holiness. Maybe not the holiness of the religious life if you're living in the lay state, but nevertheless, holiness. I'd like to give you a couple of analogies in this regard. One of the analogies that comes to my mind is that of a football player. In order to be successful, that football player has to go through a tremendous amount of training, self-discipline, having the coach discipline him, yell at him at times, go through laborious drills, weightlifting, weight training, conditioning. Now, what if this football player started to complain to his, became a malcontent to his fellow football players? Why do we have to practice? Boy, am I tired today. I don't feel like doing this. This is getting hard. What's the problem there? The problem is he took his eyes off the goal. If you want to be successful, if you want to win football games, if you want to win as a team, then each individual has to commit to all of the sacrifices needed. And generally, you don't find the malcontents. They're usually cut from the team because they end up pulling others down. But by and large, they all know why they're there. We're here to win. We will do what it takes to be the best football team. And each individual has to make that commitment as well. Again, if we start to focus on the means and not on the end, we're going to be like that football player who's taken his eyes off the goal of winning. Or here's another way to look at it. The analogy I would like to give is wheels on a car. Imagine somebody who says, you know, I want to get the best fuel economy, and I just hate having these wheels, these tires on. They're extra weight. I think I'll take them off. Well, what sense would that make? Yes, they do add weight. But if you take them off, you're not going anywhere. And if we start complaining and getting dejected about crosses, about God's keeping God's laws, or even the church's laws, we're complaining about the wheels on the car. Yes, they are weight, but they help us to get where we're going. So my dear brethren, what I'm trying to say is when we take our eyes off the goal, we will stop rejoicing. When we take our eyes off of our ultimate spiritual goal, we will lose our joy and we will get bogged down about the means, failing to remember what is really the end. I remember reading a saying that obstacles are those things we notice when we take our eyes off the goal. When you keep your eyes firmly fixed on the goal, the difficulties along the way that you almost don't notice them, or you are energized even by them. All right, this is like that football player when he's running those drills and you know, running himself exhausted. There's an energy he's getting from that. I know what this is all about. And he's encouraging his fellow teammates. Let's come on. Let's keep doing this. We can do it. We're winners. Again, keeping our eyes on the goal. Now, we all have goals in life, things we would like to accomplish. But nothing can be as important as our heavenly goals and becoming the saints that God wants of us. So, eyes upward, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. As we get back to our Advent observance, let us keep that spirit of recollection. That this is what helps us to stay, to keep our eyes on the on our heavenly goal. There is a spirit of prayer we need to keep with us during the day. You see, there's formal prayer like our morning prayers, evening prayers, rosary, especially Holy Mass. Those are formal prayers, or the books we read out of our missals or our devotions book. Very important, critical that we do this. But during the day, as we go about our duties, cleaning the house, cooking, working at your job, traveling, that's where you need to keep a spirit of recollection, a spirit of prayer. And in this regard, silence is a most important practice. There are times when we need to shut the noise and the distraction out. Why? Because we can't hear God. If that radio is always going or there's sound going, we can't hear God. We can't listen to God. And we need to bridle our tongues. There's a very potent phrase from the Gospels speaking about Our Lady that she kept all these things in her heart. And there's an implication there that instead of always talking, Our Lady herself restrained her tongue, kept the spirit of recollection. So many times we don't need to speak, or we speak sinfully. As St. James says, if a man offends not in speech, that same man is perfect. So I counsel you, as a means of keeping your eyes on the heavenly goal of what matters most in life, and that will give you joy. It undoubtedly will give you joy. Remember that the help that silence gives us in our prayer life. And we find ourselves in an unrest or discombobulated spiritually, discouraged, downcast, it's time for prayer. It's time to get into a mode of silence and ask ourselves, why am I here? What's it all about? And may the words of St. Paul ring clearly through our memory. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. The Lord is nigh. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.